My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast. Our lesson of the day is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. If you have your Bible available, please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll begin with verse 9 and read through verse 11. At the writing of these words, the scholars affirm that Paul was imprisoned, awaiting execution. We understand because the Scriptures also affirm within the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul refers to himself as a prisoner. He refers to my chain in chapter 1 and verse 16. He is unto bonds in chapter 2 and verse 9. And in chapter 4 and verse 6, he states, I am ready to be offered. In prison, there is much time for thinking. I recall touring Alcatraz Island some years ago with my wife while in the San Francisco area. And after hearing and reading the stories of the prisoners, I recall what one said in specifically, they had plenty of time to think. From our lesson text, there were individuals that Paul pondered while he was in prison. And I'd like for us to examine three of them this morning through our broadcast. And ironically, each one of us will fit one of these individuals. The question we wish to consider for the next few moments is which one. From 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 9, Paul writes and tells Timothy, Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Let's examine some individuals that Paul pondered while in prison. First of all, let's consider Timothy. Timothy would be the one we would consider the faithful. In verse 9, Paul says, Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And we know how fond Paul was of Timothy. Paul clearly has no children of his own, therefore Timothy is the closest thing Paul has to family. This wonderful book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, written unto the young man Timothy, is a wonderful text to teach to young people. In my local work as a gospel preacher, whenever I teach the teenage class, I love to use those two books because they cover so much ground and encourage our young people in the direction they need to go. Timothy was also known as Paul's son in the faith, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 2. Timothy was also well reported of by the brethren in Acts 16 and verse 2, a young man with a good reputation. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, Paul mentioned Timothy, who was faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. Timothy was a faithful teacher. So indeed, what a faithful one Timothy was. He was loved, respected, and faithful as a teacher. So Paul, without question, gained much comfort from Timothy while in prison because Timothy stayed with it. He remained faithful to God. Although Paul was in prison, he knew Timothy and others like him would press onward in the work of the Lord for the gospel to be preached. Dear listener, are you like Timothy? Are you faithful unto your God? Are you faithful unto God Almighty, serving Him diligently? Realizing that if you're listening to this broadcast, it may be that you're starting to search out some things, and it could be you remember when you were once much more faithful unto God than you are now. Oh, my friend, you can always come back. You can begin life anew. And so the challenge is, are you faithful? It is said in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. He must be trusted. He must be faithful with what is put before him. Dear friends, are you? The second person that Paul pondered while in prison was one by the name of Demas. We will refer to Demas as not the faithful, but the fallen. Paul said in verse 10 of our text, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas is mentioned here and two other times in the Scripture. The other two occasions, ironically, are in a favorable light. In Colossians 4 and verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. When you hear the word greet among Christians, it's a kind gesture of greeting. Let them know I'm thinking of them, if you will. Demas was also called a fellow laborer to Paul in Philemon, verse 24. Yet he left because he loved this present world. Hendrickson, the scholar, said, not that he merely left Paul, but that he left him in the lurch, or in other words, he abandoned Paul. When Paul needed him the most, Demas abandoned him. What more could Paul say? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, you know, an individual can be like Demas, an individual that was once faithful to God, yet fallen. My friends, we on declaring glad tidings in light of Scripture must not agree with the concept of once saved, always saved, or one cannot fall from grace. Galatians 5 and verse 4, Paul reminded the churches in Galatia that they could fall from grace. We note from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, the Hebrew writer is very clear through inspiration concerning how one can fall. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. To whom is the Hebrew writer pinning these words to? Verse 12 tells us our answer. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Well, my friend, you have to be there in order to depart. And he reminded them how they are partakers if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. And then he reminds them to harden not their hearts. And so we must make certain that our hearts are always turned toward God. In 2 Peter 3:17, Peter said, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." You know, I've often wondered if Paul's hurt for Demas was greater than his pain of imprisonment. My friend, are you fallen away from the Lord? You know, there are individuals who once darkened doors of church buildings, as we say, every time the doors were open, and then there are some that fall away. My friends, do we honestly believe, in light of what the Scriptures we've just mentioned, that those individuals will stand before God faithful unto death, as we note in Revelation 2:10? I think not. My friends, are you the fallen? Were you once active? I have a lot of people come to me and say, you know, Jeff, I used to be real active in church, and I need to get back. Well, if you do, then you got to do it, because nothing's going to change until you do that very thing. As we consider more on this subject, let's consider another person Paul pondered while in prison. First of all, let's look also at Mark. We will refer to him as the fortunate. He's not the faithful, he's not the fallen, but the fortunate. In verse 11, only Luke is with me, Paul said. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, Mark's story is rather unique. We are introduced to him in Acts 12 and verse 12, where he is the son of Mary. He grew up in the house where many were praying for Peter at that time. In Acts 12 and verse 25, as well as in Acts 13 and verse 5, we note that he left and assisted Barnabas and Saul on the missionary journey. Now, he's also referred to as John in these Scriptures, so we will refer to him from onward as John Mark. In Acts 13 and verse 13, however, in the first missionary journey, John Mark departed the work. There was no reason given why he departed the work. But we also note something interesting in Acts the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 36. Because as he left the work, Barnabas and Saul decided to once again go back into where they had been. Here's the story in verse 36 of Acts 15. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city, where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now, we don't know what the reason was why John Mark left, but we do know this. There was contention between Barnabas and Saul, to where they separated and went on with their way. There are times Christians just do not agree, but they must go onward in their way. However, here was a man, John Mark, who eventually redeemed himself. Now remember, Saul did not want to take him with the work, nor Paul, rather, at this time, did not want to take him with the work. But listen to what happens later. As we noted in our lesson text of 2 Timothy 4:11, we find where he said, "Bring Mark with thee, for he is profitable." That means something's changed here. How about in Colossians 4 and verse 10 when Paul asked the churches of Colossae or the church of Colossae to receive Mark or John Mark? John Mark was also called a fellow laborer in Philemon 24. We also note that he was dear to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13. And through inspiration, he wrote the gospel that bears his name. He was fortunate in the fact that he grew spiritually and changed for the better. My friends, we cannot give up on individuals. I've known many an individual that has obeyed the gospel that some individuals said they never thought it would even happen. They were amazed how it could happen. Especially with our young people. We cannot give up on our young people, dear friends. We realize that they are going to make some wrong choices. They're going to be guided the wrong way. But we need to be there to make certain they know the right way to go and guide them in that way. And so when we stop and think about John Mark, he was the fortunate. He was able to pick up and to move onward and to do what was right. He was able to overcome why he departed from the work and yet to be one to be depended on for the work, as we see from the Apostle Paul. The faithful Timothy, the fallen Demas, the faithful, or rather the fortunate John Mark. We obviously see the traits of each one. My friends, I must ask you a question. Which one are you? Are you an individual like Timothy, who indeed is faithful? Or, my friends, have you listened to our broadcast and studied your Bible, and there have been times that you have wondered why the church where you attend do things a little differently? Well, dear friends, we want you to put where you attend in light of Scripture. And, my friends, if it's not in accordance with Scripture, then you don't need to remain there. God intended for us to understand His church very clearly. God never intended for us to be a member of a denomination, but to be a member of the church we read of in the New Testament, like Timothy, at one time like Demas, and like John Mark, and like Paul. Are you an individual that has fallen? Are you an individual that is not walking and living the way they should? Would further Bible study be of help? Can we be of assistance to you? In just a few moments, you can contact us here at Declaring Glad Tidings, and we'll be glad to help you with those questions. And my friends, if you are fortunate this morning to hear this broadcast, and know that there are some decisions you have to make, then my friends, you have the opportunity to make those decisions this hour. No, my friends, we won't ask you to pray with us on this program in order to attain salvation. For did you know in the New Testament no one prayed for salvation? But rather we do find individuals who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that taught by Jesus in John 3:16 and commanded by Paul in Acts 16 and verse 31. We also know there are those that because they believe on Christ, they're going to do what He says. Jesus taught us in Luke 13:3, "Nay, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." We're also reminded in Colossians, or rather to confess Christ, as in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then yes, my friends, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. We understand the eunuch as he walked along the road in Acts 8 and verse 37, when he confessed Jesus was the Son of God, he made that confession because he saw there was water, what hindered him to be baptized? Yes, ma'am, yes, my friends, baptism in water through one's faith and repentance and confession is necessary for one's salvation. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's Mark 16, verse 16. My friends, through Declaring Glad Tidings, we'll be willing to help you make those decisions. We'd love for you to further study and to see what God has in store for you. And we wish to help you every way that we can. These are people Paul pondered while in prison. We trust your heart will ponder the things we've studied this morning.